Well, we're on a brand new sermon series. We started it actually 2 weeks ago, and it's called Overflow. And the scripture tells us multiple places of things that should overflow in our lives. And the first week we talked about overflowing joy. Last week we talked about overflowing generosity. Today we're going to look at one that's found in Psalm 23. And so if you want to turn there, we'll look at it on the overhead here in just a minute. And before we start, why don't we pray? Lord, I just am so grateful that you have allowed us to be here today. We call this place a church, but it's simply a place where we come to meet with you, and we get to spend time in your presence, and we get to spend time with those folks that we love. So we are here today to love each other and to worship you, and we're so thankful that you have allowed us to do that even already. I pray that right now you would anoint the words of my lips. Let me speak under your guidance, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23 and 5 says it like this: "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with," what's that word? Blessings. See, mothers are blessings to us. They're blessings in our lives. I come from a wonderful home, and my mother was sort of the glue that held everything together. My mother is about as much of a saint as I know. My dad moved her all over the South. I moved 13 times before I got out of high school. And they moved before I was born. They've moved several times since. And my mother would just follow my dad wherever he went. The ministry called. He was always moving. And my mother just made lemonade out of lemons often. And so I came from a wonderful home. And I'm very grateful for my mom. That is a blessing. Today I'm going to speak about this thing called overflowing or abundant blessing in your life. We've all been blessed in our lives. We can look back at the great times. We can look back at the great events. We can look back at all of those wonderful people that we've known. And we can realize that our lives have truly been blessed. Can you say amen? We can. Yesterday Jack graduated from TCU. Go Horned Frogs. So did Will, who's not here today, but we got to hang out with the family, and we got to spend time, and John and Sandy, Joy's brother and sister-in-law, are down. Anthony, we almost talked him into TCU, but he decided to go to Providence, Rhode Island instead, so he broke the chain. It was Johnny went first, then Jack, and then Jake right there. We had the three J's that all went to TCU. And we got to hang out. We got to spend time with family. It's a wonderful thing. Family is a great thing. Not every family's perfect. As they say, every family's got a little weird in it. And if you look around and there's not any in your family, guess what? That's you. And so that's just how families work. There's not any perfect ones out there. We can all look at our steps and how they've been ordered by God, and we can see how he's provided for us along the way. But, you know, we don't always look at the good things in our lives. We don't always look at the blessings in our lives. Instead, we often choose to compare ourselves with other people. We don't really compare ourselves with other people. We compare ourselves to those virtual people that we see on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that. And we look at their life, and it looks kind of good, and it looks kind of perfect. But if you really get to know them, they're as crazy and messed up as everybody else. And so it's just not fair to us, to yourself, to judge yourself harshly when it comes to what blessings you've had in your life, because we've all been blessed. You can take a moment right now, if you were to take a moment right now and look back at your life, and you could see how God has methodically blessed you, how he's repeatedly blessed you in your life, how he has caused things to line up that never would have come together if it hadn't been for the hand of God guiding you. Do you remember times in your life where that's happened, where you've just seen automatically, it just seemed like out of the clear blue, something happened? Scripture gives us one example of one of the blessings that we have. We've already talked about it a little bit. It's found in Psalms 127th chapter. And it says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." I mean, children are a reward. It's a wonderful thing. Both of our daughters stayed with us last night, and it was kind of fun to have it to have them around the house again. They, you know, as old as they get now, one's in her 30s and one's in her mid-20s, and they're just like they were when they were 13 and 17, or, you know, they're just still just like they were. It's just fun. It's just fun to have children around the house. I heard about a man who was watching TV one day, and his little three-year-old daughter brought him some water in her little teacup set. And he was so impressed, he drank it down. He said, "Yum, this is so good." And she went back and she did it three or four more times. And he was just, every time, he just kept saying, "Mmm, this is so good." Finally, the mother came in. He said, "You've got to see this." And she said, the mother said, "Did it ever occur to you the only place a three-year-old can reach water is from the toilet?" You see, moms know stuff. They just know stuff. It's just the way it is. Children are a blessing. When was the last time you thought about your life? When was the last time you really considered where blessings come from? There's a scripture found in Psalm 65 that I like, and it comes to our first point, that blessings come in every season of your life. Here's the verse. "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest, and even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. Notice that the psalmist said that even the hard pathways would overflow. You see, God blesses you even in the difficult times of your life. Have you ever been going through one of those particularly difficult seasons in your life, and out of the clear blue, somebody came and blessed you, or you met a new friend, or somebody gave you something, and it didn't, your life wasn't going the way you wanted it to, but in the difficult place, suddenly somebody blessed you. God knows what you need and when you need it. Amen. Joy and I lived in Wisconsin for two winters, and we were freezing one day. I remember we'd been up there about a year or so, and it was cold, and the snow was coming down. We were getting 18 inches that night, I recall, and it was just one of those brutal Wisconsin winters. And all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door, and we opened it up, and the UPS guy delivered a box that somebody had sent us from Texas. We opened up the box, and guess what it was? Chips and hot sauce. Chips and salsa. Nothing says I love you like chips and salsa in the middle of a Wisconsin winter. It was so spectacular. We didn't just thank God for the chips and salsa. We thank God that we had people who loved us enough to do that. It wasn't an expensive thing, but boy, did it mean the world to us. It's just one of those things that God said, "You know what? I've got some people up here. They're a little discouraged right now. They're freezing. Let's send them some salsa." And so they did. Sometimes that's the way God does it. He just does, shows up at the right time. I believe that God's very active in our lives. I believe he knows what you need when you need. He's never late. He's rarely early. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Proverbs, the third chapter in the 10th verse says, "Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." Notice that he says good wine. What good's overflow if it's not good? You see, here's what I know about God. The same God of the overflow is in charge of the quality control. Can I get a witness? Every time that he sends gifts to you and good things to you, they are good things to you. When he blesses you, he will bless you indeed, and he will bless you greatly. That's a great promise. I like that promise that says, "Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." That's the promise. But you see, there's a premise in the verse right before it. We have to look at Psalms 3 and 9 to get to verse 3 and 10. Here's what it says in verse 3 and 9. "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." Then you can have what it says over here in verse 10. "Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." You see, you have to have a certain amount of, you got to do your part before he does his part. Have you ever met somebody that they just kind of walk through life and they're kind of on eggshells? They just know that any minute the other shoe's going to drop. They just kind of have that, they kind of get that feeling that something bad is getting ready to happen. There's this ominous cloud that goes around them. Did you know where that phrase comes from, waiting for the other shoe to drop? Back in the late 19th century, the early the late 1800s, the early 1900s, New York City had suddenly started building all these apartments, and they weren't real well made. You could hear the people above you, and when people got ready to go to bed at night, they would take their shoes off, and they would drop them on the floor. Clunk. And you might already be in bed. And it was this annoying sound as you were waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's where it came from. That is, that's where we get the phrase. And yet a lot of people live their lives just like that. They just think that at any minute something bad is going to happen. Like the phone rings and there's the first thing that comes to them is that startledness that they just think that it could be bad. They're just waiting on bad news. I mean, it could be that you have just inherited a lot of money. You could have just won something. They may have just called your name. It could be, well, Ed McMahon's no longer with us, so I guess he's not going to call you and tell you you won the sweepstakes or something. But we don't have to live our life in fear. God has good things for you. Too many people are simply waiting around for the other shoe to drop. They live in fear. And even in the most difficult season of your life, know this, that God is blessing you. Second thing I want to tell you today is that blessings usually follow obedience. I would say always, but the fact is God blesses us even when we are disobedient sometimes. There's a difference, though, in being willfully disobedient and being ignorant. You know what I mean? If a child doesn't know that something is wrong, you don't discipline them the same as if a child knows that something is wrong. You discipline a child that you've told repeatedly, don't do this one way. And if it's a child's first offense, you kind of explain it to them a little bit. You might give them a second chance. You say, no, this is not, we don't do that around here. And you might have to say it two or three times. But one day that child looks at you and just kind of stares at you and says, and then you discipline them in a little different way. Sometimes you have to help them understand who's the boss. There's a difference between in ignorance and in disobedience, even with God. The scripture says in Luke, the 12th chapter, to whom much has been given, much is required. In other words, what that means is that after you know how to walk in the light, you no longer get the luxury of walking in the dark without consequences. That's the obedience. In Joel, in the book of Joel, the second chapter, we see the story of the nation of Judah. Now, Judah had turned their back on God multiple times, over and over. God had brought them back. And in this particular passage in Judah, or in Joel, God sends a swarm of locusts to devastate and devour the land. I mean, it was crazy. They just reaped a whirlwind of pain on this nation. And yet the prophecy of Joel tells us what's going to happen after they repent. If you read the first chapter, you see about all of the devastation and everything bad that's going to happen. But you finally get over to Joel 2 and 24, and then it says this. This is what's going to happen after they repent. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. You see, God blesses us often when we don't deserve it, but he has been known to withhold his blessing because of our disobedience. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, we've heard it many times spoken in church. It simply says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test. You see, that's the only place that God ever said to test him. It had to do with our money, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I like that passage because it says it's a word picture of God opening the windows of heaven. I mean, it's not that he's just there peering through windows. We don't know that he actually has windows like that, but the writer of this wrote this metaphorically. He wrote this in a way that we could understand it, that God wants to just open up the coffers of heaven and pour out blessing upon us. So what does it look like when you live under an open heaven? We've all probably been through those times in our life when we prayed and it felt like our prayers just got that far above our heads and didn't go any farther. They just kind of stopped. You've been there where you pray and you pray and you pray and it just doesn't seem like anything's happening? And those are hard seasons. That's a difficult time, and everybody goes through those. Time and time in the New Testament and the Old Testament, there were people who prayed. It didn't seem like anything good happened. But when you live under an open heaven, you see that God can bless you in the most amazing ways. When the children of Israel were getting ready to go over into the promised land, Moses was getting on up in years. In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, I'm going to read 13 verses for you. This is what it looks like when you live under an open heaven. If you want to turn there, otherwise you can see it on the screen. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 13. He says, Moses said this to the children of Israel. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all of his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. There's that obedience thing again. And here's the blessings. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. If you obey the Lord, the commands of the Lord your God, and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. Verse 11, the Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. How many of you just received that blessing from the Lord today? Isn't that a wonderful blessing? We have that blessing. We can take that and appropriate that to our lives today. Notice the key to receiving all of these abundant blessings and living under an open heaven was obedience to God's commands. It's a conditional promise. The third thing you need to know about blessing is that blessings are meant to be enjoyed. Colossians 2 and 7 says, let your roots grow down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. As you live life in the obedience of God, he is naturally and automatically going to bless your life. And as he does, you will consistently see the blessings that come your way. If you just look around a little bit, you will see that God blesses you. You may start here. And when Joe and I first got married, we had nothing. I mean, we left college. We didn't have any furniture. We moved into a one-bedroom apartment, and we just had some pieces that weren't even real furniture. And then over the next 6 months, and this was before we could... This was back when they used to check you and see if you had any income before they gave you a credit card. And we couldn't afford any furniture because we didn't qualify for a credit card. You know, you had to be pretty broke not to qualify for a credit card, but we found that we knew where the bottom was. And that was where we started. And then as time went by, over the next 6 months, we wound up buying some furniture. I remember one time we bought a nine-piece sectional sofa. We lived on the third floor of this apartment. We carried all nine pieces up. And after about 3 months, I noticed one of the pieces went from chocolate brown to olive green. And I took it back down, and we took it back to the store, and they gave me another one. And I put it up there, and then I noticed another one started turning green, and we took it down. And then I kept doing this three or four times until we'd replaced all of them at once. And finally, I thought, this is a mess. I took it back and said, can I get a couch and a love seat? Just two pieces. And so we had that for a while. And God just continued to bless us. I remember we were moving from that little one-bedroom place to a two-bedroom place, and Joy's cousin was driving the truck, and we'd put our mattress and our box springs in the bed of this truck. And on the way down 183 there in Irving, the box springs blew out. We got to where we were going, and he said, I think something blew out of the truck. And I looked, and I said, let's go back and get it. He said, I don't think there's anything left of it. There was a big old semi behind me. We drove back over, and all I could find was what looked like a sheet and some kindling wood thrown up against the inside of the highway. And that was just that was the locust apparently coming through our I found that we have enjoyed every blessing along the way. Sometimes after you get a lot of stuff, you don't enjoy the little stuff. You don't appreciate the little stuff. I remember the first thing we bought a ceiling fan. I remember buying a coat rack. I remember us buying our first bedroom suit. I remember us buying our first refrigerator. I remember buying a washer. And you know how important it is when you buy your first washer and your dryer, because you finally have that in your house and you didn't have it before and you were going down and doing the coin laundry thing and all that stuff. I remember the first time we got a microwave. I remember all those little blessings that came along in our lives, and I enjoyed every one of them. I'm still enjoying the blessing of the Lord in my life today. For many years, a lady by the name of Hetty Green was a wealthy woman. Back in 1916, she died, and her estate was worth $100 million. 1916, she was known as the richest woman in the world in her day, but she was also a miser, a tightwad. She would not even warm up her oatmeal because she didn't want to spend the money to heat the water. She ate cold oatmeal. It was a miserable existence. Worth $100 million. When her son injured his leg, she wouldn't take him to a hospital because she didn't want to pay for it. She took him to a free clinic, and he wound up losing his leg as a result of that. Worth $100 million. Finally, at the end of her life, in her 80s, she got into an argument with somebody over the virtues of skim milk because it costs less than whole milk. And in the process of her arguing, she had a stroke and died. What an awesome way to go, would you say? I mean, worth $100 million, didn't enjoy life whatsoever. She was miserable. Now, let me tell you, God will bless your life if you do things right. And God wants you to know it's okay to enjoy the blessings. And He doesn't want it just for you to enjoy the blessing. He wants you to share those blessings with others. This past Wednesday night, we showed a video downstairs of the Hobby Lobby family. David Green started Hobby Lobby. He's a pastor's kid like myself. And in the early 70s, they were making little picture frames for on their kitchen table and selling them. And this company grew to be a $4 billion company a year with over 700 stores. It's a Christian-based company. You know it. We have a new one here in Weatherford. They give half of everything that comes in away. They buy churches, they buy Bibles, they pay to have Bibles translated. They do all this. They give millions of dollars away. It's as though they can't give it away fast enough. The family's worth over $6 billion. If you're counting, that's twice what the President of the United States is worth. They're worth a lot of money. They just continue to give millions and millions of dollars away. It's okay for you to be blessed and enjoy it. It's okay for you to bless other people. So I say, get blessed. Go buy something for yourself. Go buy something real nice. Next time you're trying to decide if you need to buy it or not, say, Pastor Steve said I could buy something real nice. And then buy something for somebody else. Buy something real nice for them too. And then don't forget the church. I thought I'd throw that in there. All right. God doesn't give you blessings and expect you not to enjoy them. He's blessed you so you can enjoy them. When you discover the joy of generosity, you'll enjoy the blessing of other people. You'll enjoy blessing other people. I find that it is truly more blessed to give than receive. And last week I talked about that. In the generosity. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 puts it like this. And may the Lord make your love for one another and all the people grow, and here's that word again, and overflow just as our love for you overflows. I'll close with this. Proverbs 10th chapter, and the 22nd verse, I have a friend that quotes this to me all the time. He says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow with it. He adds no sorrow with it. What does that mean? The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Well, many people have come to know riches in their life. They've worked just like this lady did back in 1916. She worked her whole life, but she was just miserable. She just couldn't find herself happiness. It wasn't in the job. It wasn't in her family. It wasn't in the people. She was just a miserable miser of a woman who spent her whole life making money that she couldn't take with her. God wants you to know that when He blesses you and you live under an open heaven, and He continues to bless your life, that He will bless your life. And when you get to the end of your days, you won't look back and have regrets on what you have done with it. You'll look back and you'll see the hand of God, how He's blessed you. And you'll see things that you've invested in, things that you have done for other people. He'll add no sorrow to it. You won't find yourself being miserable in your old age. You can look back, and one day when God calls you home, you're on your deathbed and you're thinking about all the things that you could have done. And yet you'll really remember the things that God allowed you to be a part of, how He blessed your life, how He used you to bless others, and how He moved across the earth through things that you were part of. It's a great way to live your life, and it's a great way to see heaven come into the world. Blessing is often equated with money, but that word rich means so much more than money. When God blesses you, you'll be rich in so many ways, not just financially. You'll be rich with friends. You'll be rich with acquaintances. You'll be rich in reputation. He will bless you in an abundant way. Why don't you bow your head with me today? Let me ask you a couple of questions this morning. Have you taken the blessing of the Lord for granted? I mean, have you just accepted it, but have you not ever just thanked Him for it? Just in this quiet moment, can we just take a moment and think about the blessing that God has given us? Abundantly, He has blessed us. He has poured out blessing after blessing after blessing on us. We didn't deserve it. We were not always obedient. We weren't always faithful to what He called us to. But He somehow just continued to see enough in us that He blessed us. He continued to be a great parent, a great heavenly Father who blessed us in ways that we didn't deserve. So right now, right where you are, I just want you to thank Him for it. Just in your own words, just go ahead and thank Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank Him for myself. And you can just follow along with me, or you can just say whatever you want to say to Him right now. Lord, I just thank You for the blessing that You have put into my life. I thank You that time and time again, even when I was unfaithful to You, You were faithful to me. Lord, when I chose to curse You instead of to bless You, You chose to bless me instead of to curse me. Lord, there were times in my life when I didn't know what was going to happen next, but You always took care of me. There were times, even in the discouraging days of my life, that You were right there with me, God. You followed me. You took care of me. You made sure that I was always well taken care of, even in my most difficult times. I never felt You were that far from me, because I could always tell that the blessing was just coming around the corner. And so I thank You for it. I just want to thank You right now for the blessing that You've been on my life and that You've done for me. I want to ask you another question this morning while your head's still bowed. Have you closed off the heavens because of disobedience in your life? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Steve, I feel like I've been disobedient some, that it's kept the blessing of the Lord from being able to be poured out upon me, because I've made some mistakes and I've refused to change some things. I know they're wrong. I know I need to make myself right with God. So if you're here today and that's you, I just want to pray for you. You can just raise your hand. I'm just going to pray for you right where you are. Thank You, Lord. So, Lord, I just lift up the Brownstone people. I thank You, Lord, that even in our disobedience, You give us chance after chance after chance. So, Lord, if anyone's here today and we find ourselves in a place where we know that we're being disobedient, willfully so, because we know better, we just ask that You would take away that from us. Let us align ourselves once again with You, God, with Your plans for us, with Your desires for us. Lord, I ask that Your hand would be upon each one here, that as we go from this place today, we will walk in new found purpose. We'll walk in a blessing. Lord, we will live, be the head and not the tail. Father, we will step up to be a part of your plan in the world. That it won't, we won't just take the blessing upon ourselves, but we will be conduits to make sure it gets to where it needs to go. And I thank you for it, Lord. I speak a blessing over this group right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand this morning?